thing you look back on with greatest pride?
I think the thing I enjoy professionally is my relationships with students.
Yes.
I've enjoyed that very much. I hope they have too.
Yes.
And I was glad to be associated with a course which really dealt with the problems of the relationship and what came through the relationship.
Yes.
Not what just people said and did, but what was the significance of that in relation to the problem which we were trying to solve or
yes.
to resolve. You never solve problems, really. You only mitigate them in some way.
Yes.
It's that side of the work I enjoyed very much.
Yes.
Bringing the students to see that an interview was a living thing.
Yes.
And that it was a dynamic thing. And we have to record as honestly as we can the attitude and hence the emphases in the interview on what was said.
Yes, sure, yes.
It's that aspect of it which fascinates me, still does.
Yes.
Though I, of course, have not practiced for a long time.
No.
But it was that kind of thing. And I got a glimmering of that when I went to America, but before I went to America, I had no teaching on that subject at all. It was very little known, I think, or very little understood.
Yes.
The application of psychology to an interview was rather a new thing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, I think so.
So what were you doing before you went to America?
I was working with the school care committees in London.
Oh, yes. Yes.
In the East End of London.
Yes.
I worked in Poplar.
Yes.
Mostly. Yes. All that part, Limehouse and all that part, which I still like to think of.
Yes.
And I helped in an it was an organization which used volunteers.
Yes.
And I found that rather distressing because I thought that we who might have more an idea what to do in an interview had to stand aside and let people from the West End who wanted to do a little bit of something,
yes,
come and do it for us. And I found that very unreal,
yes,
and very ridiculous, really.
Yes.
Because these people, some of them, frankly came to get a bit of the savour of the East End of London.
Yes, yes.
And one of the people that I met in that circumstance was Ishbel MacDonald.
Uh-huh.
And she came to our office, and I took her out and around a bit, and she took me to number 10, and so on and so on. She's dead now, I think. She died prematurely.
Yes.
But she was one of the characters that I enjoyed.
Yes.
Very nice girl, no pretensions whatsoever.
She's related to Ramsay.
His daughter.
His daughter.
Yes,
yes,
his daughter. But like so many people who came to work in the East End, there was a sort of glamour to them in it.
Yes.
And I didn't like that at all.
No, no.
That seemed to me very, ephemeral and not worthy of our task.
Yes.
Because our task, although we didn't know its ingredients, so to speak, or what it was that we were really doing when we came face to face with somebody in trouble.
Yes.
We knew that we respected the person, or at least we thought we did.
Yes.
And were not critical of their failures.
Yes.
But you see, all that had to be learnt.
Yes.
Because it did not come up in the School of Economics.
Yes.
In our tuitions there.
Yes. You had to work it out for yourself.
Yes. In fact, without being, I hope, too critical, I remember coming back one afternoon through the London School, where I'd been out doing some work with the Charity Organisation Society.
Yes.
And there were two tutors sitting together in one of the rooms, and I happened to go in, I don't know what for. And so they said in a rather ridiculing kind of way, "Well, how have you got on the COS?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I found it most awfully interesting." They said, "You found it interesting?" I said, "Yes, I did. Very interesting indeed."
Yes.
And they, that's how they passed it off, you know.
Yes. As if it were of no consequence.
No consequence.
Yes.
So you see, when I went to America, I entered a different range of social work.
Yes.
Quite a different sort of feel about it.
Yes.
That everything that went on really mattered.
Yes.
And that we were part of the mattering, so to speak.
Part of the?
Mattering.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
How did you hear about the Commonwealth Scholarship and going to America?
I heard of it in an interesting way. I went down to work at Mile End, went to Mile End Station for my usual journey every day from where I was living in the West End of London. And I met my boss, Miss Corcus, C-O-R-C-O-S,
yes,
whom I had been working with, and she said to me, almost on the platform at Mile End, would you like to go to America? So I said, yes, I think I would. I've been reading about America. And she said, well, there's a remote possibility that you might be able to go.
Yes.
But she said, I don't know much about it. I'll let you know as soon as I can, but may I send your name forward? I said, oh, yes.
Yes.
So we walked down the Mile End Road together, and then I had to wait to hear.
Yes.
I was called for interview at the, where was we called? County Hall.
Yes.
Where we met a doctor who was vetted us and so on, and we asked a few questions. And then Miss Mildred Scoville, who was the representative of the Commonwealth Fund,
yes,
had a talk with each of us individually.
Yes.
And I think I mainly stressed I was very interested in the history of America,
yes,
which I was.
Yes, yes.
And I think that got me the pace.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Because I didn't know what I was going to at all.
And then did you then go to New York?
Yes, we went to New York. And there were five of us, different branches of social work.
Yes.
And we didn't know each other.
No.
And we travelled on a ship, I forget its name, it was rather fun, and went to New York.
Yes.
And Miss Mildred Scoville took charge of us,
yes,
and introduced us to the school of social work, where we took take our studies.
Yes.
And we gradually worked our way into that.
Yes. This was 1927.
27.
And you were saying just now something about the classes and the sort of things they did on the course.
Yes. Can't remember the name of them. I may think of it. Awful nice chap who did the interviewing course. But of course, to me, I'd never thought of interviewing as an entity, as something I had to understand. And employ with understanding. I didn't know that.
No. That was something that came across in the course.
Very vividly. And although one was inclined occasionally to think it was overdone,
yes,
one came to respect it.
Yes.
And it is the bones of the course.
Yes.
Oh, it was Mr. Lee of this New York School of Social Work, who was the person who discussed interviewing with us.
Yeah.
I forget what his Christian name was. It may come to me.
Yes.
He was awfully nice.
Yes.
But we had to discuss things, whether it was what the client would think if we did or did not wear a hat in the days when that sort of thing was important.
Yes.
And trivia, what seemed to me trivia,
yes,
has turned out recently to be very solid sense, you see.
Yes, yes.
And I was absolutely raw. Didn't know a thing about this.
Yes.
Never heard it expounded even.
No.
Can you see what the difference it was?
Yes, I can. Yes, it must have been
revelation.
Yes.
Absolute revelation to me.
Yes.
And that's what the course basically taught me.
Yes.
The intervention of oneself into a situation, and the fact that you had to know about, as far as you could, get some impression of what that intervention meant, and interpret it as best you could.
Yes. Did they teach that on the basis of practical experience you were having at the same time? Or?
Oh, yes.
Mm.
We had to write up our cases at great length, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And And I remember one case of a small boy who was a terrible liar, and I was rather strictly brought up and thought that the social workers ought to take more notice of the lying.
Yes.
And when my supervisor was not shocked terribly by it, or didn't put the weight in it that I did,
yes,
it was rather amusing. We had quite a discussion about that.
Yes, yes.
My tutor was became a very great friend of mine. She stayed over here with me.
Yes.
She's dead now, unfortunately. Yeah. But she was often, her name was Miss Swift, Miss Swift. Sally Swift. Very nice, and yes, knew how to take me.
Yes, yes.
Because I was rather judgmental, you see, yes, that sort of thing.
Yes. So you came back a rather different person from the person who
I guess I did, but of course I got nobody to measure that, and I didn't think of it myself very much. Yes. But I knew that those things mattered. And later it led me to analysis. I had a personal analysis. Yes. And that I found very helpful.
Yes.
I think it sometimes is and sometimes isn't, but I had a great deal of help over it.
Yes. Mm. Well, when you came back from America, how was it trying to, when you came to expound these ideas amongst your British colleagues?
One took careful not to do much about it. They were very jealous of one having gone. I went from the care committee.
Yes.
And I remember a dreadful meeting we had on my return when I was made to say something. And there they were, very jealous, you see, and upset, thinking I'd got a lot of American ideas.
Yes.
And would use American words. And they were listening for me to make sort of Americanisms, you know?
Yes, yes.
I had to be so careful. No, they were not very generous. Yeah. I went back, you see, I was lent by the LCC for a year, and I had to go back to Islington to fulfill that, and I did.
To Islington.
Islington and Poplar. There was a whole district, Bethnal Green, Islington and Poplar. I don't remember how the districts went, but it was that area.
Yes.
Which I liked very much, and I went back to my same boss and had to go back for a year. Uh-huh. But at the end of the year, I didn't want to stay in that. And I got an invitation. Didn't I go straight to the Tavistock Clinic then? I think I did. No, I didn't. No, I went to the Islington Clinic.
Canterbury Child
Guidance Clinic.
Yes.
And worked there for a time.
Yes.
And eventually became senior PSW there, I think. And then the Commonwealth Fund asked me to take on the junior job at the Child Guidance Council.
Oh, yes, yes.
A Child Guidance Council had been established after they'd financed a clinic in connection with the LSE. In some way or other, the council became established.
Yes.
And I was asked to be, Dr. William Moody was asked to be the principal of that.
Yes.
And I went as his lieutenant, so to speak.
I see, yes.
And I worked there for, I think, 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. That was the dissemination of knowledge about clinics countrywide.
Like a, sort of public relations
job. Yes. I wasn't very good at it, I don't think, but I stayed there for a bit with William Moody.
Did you have to travel the country then, sort of selling the idea of child guidance?
Well, we didn't go very far, at least I didn't go very far, because there wasn't all that interest in it. But I remember going to Birmingham, I think, and I think Liverpool, but not quite sure. I went to several places. But I wasn't a good speaker, and it's not my métier, I don't think. But I did what I could.
Yes.
And of course we had people on the council, the council, the Child Guidance Council, who had very little idea of what psychiatric social work was or what we were really putting forward.
Yes.
One of the famous names there is Mrs. St. Lois Strachey.
Oh, yes.
But that comes in that book I did a chapter on PSW work, in social work today.
In Cherry Morris?
Yes.
Social casework in Great Britain?
Yes, well, I instigated that book.
Yes.
And
you instigated that book?
I did.
Oh, yes, I'm interested to hear about that. Yes.
Yes. It was, I think, with Dr. Soddy, I think it was, who was in Liverpool Child Guidance. I think we went up to some conference there.
Mm-hmm.
And it came upon me that we needed a book to explain social work to countrywide.
Yes.
And Miss Young Husband was there, and various people of importance.
Yes.
And I suggested we got together a book which explained the different kinds of social work.
Yes.
And I wrote the psychiatric social work chapter.
That's right. Yes.
But
yes.
I really did instigate that book.
Yes. And what, Cherry Morris was there at the same time, was she?
I expect she was. I don't remember. But she came into it, of course.
Yes, because she edited.
And she acted as editor to this book. You see, I didn't want... I wanted people to, it to be get much more prominence than I could give it by getting hold of important people.
Yes.
And she was one of them.
Yes.
See, I was pretty insignificant.
Yes.
And... But I did start it.
Yes.
And I got it published.
Yes.
I remember Soddy said to me, you may think you're going to get it published, but you'll find social workers very difficult to get them enthusiastic about writing anything. But they all did.
Yes, yes, they did indeed.
Yes, they did. Mm.
And there are two chapters in that book that I reread it recently because
yes.
of this. And, I mean, there are two chapters in there which I think stand out today and one could still give students to read. And one of them's, Claire Britton, as she was then,
yes.
talking about caseworking with children,
yes.
developing childcare service. And the other one was Jean Snelling's
on yes.
The work of the almoner.
Yes.
There are a lot of, there's a lot of quotable things in there, two essays that you can use in examination questions.
Can you?
Yes.
Yes.
And you thought it was your idea to get that book?
Yes, people don't know it is, because I faced myself out of it, but I assure you I was.
Yes.
Yes, it wouldn't have been there if I hadn't, well, somebody else might have thought of it, but
yes.
I was the instigator thereof.
Yes.
I felt it was very necessary.
Mm. Yes, and indeed it, I guess it was the first real book on social work in Britain, wasn't it?
Absolutely, as far as I know.
Yes.
I don't know now.
I suppose the early ones would be Elizabeth McAdam's book on... called Equipment of a Social Worker or something.
Was it?
But it wasn't. It's not actually a textbook on social work.
No.
It's very much the sort of thing you were describing earlier before we started recording.
Yes, yes.
Telling you where things are geographically and administratively.
Yes.
And organisationally.
And how you, what you do about rent books and what you do about marriage lines and things of that sort,
yes,
but
right.
not the real stuff.
Yes.
Not the
yes.
real stuff.
Yes.
No.
So, when did you, were you still working for the Child Guidance Council up to the outbreak of war, when it merged with the NAMH, or had you left them then?
I can't quite remember. I've got it somewhere. Would you get that red book? You're at liberty to look it through that. And
sure. Yes. So, you stayed at the clinic for until 1938.
Yes.
And then why was it that you left the clinic?
I was rather an expense, I thought. She was
yes.
rather a weight.
Yes.
I thought they could do without me. I wasn't doing a tremendous lot, I think.
Yes.
I felt I could be dispensed with.
And the Commonwealth Fund had withdrawn their support. So
yes, you see,
forward.
We had to look at realities.
Yes.
That's as far as I remember is my reason. There may have been other ones that
yes.
I'm more reluctant to mention. I don't know. I was quite happy, I think.
What was the... You then went to the psychiatric unit of the London Hospital, administered by Dr.
Oh yes,
Henry Wilson. What was that unit? It was a rather obscure unit,
housed in a rather dreary part of the hospital. And he was there as a psychiatric doctor. And of course, very little was known about child guidance. The nurses were rather suspicious of me.
Yes.
You know how difficult they can be. Well, they didn't know what I was after, and so they became a little difficult, but I'd managed to manage them, I think, fairly well.
Yes.
They were so jealous, you see.
Yes.
They always thought one was snooping after the doctor.
Yes.
About whom one didn't care tuppence, probably, but still it didn't matter to them.
Yes.
And I stayed there, doing little bits, not very much there, because Henry Wilson was not a great power in the land.
Yes.
A very nice chap to work with, a Quaker.
Yes. Yes.
Quite something of a Quaker, I think.
Yes.
And I stayed there for a bit. Then I forget what I did. What happened then?
Well, then, because there was a shortage of accommodation,
yes.
The unit closed.
Yes.
And you worked with the London
oh, yes.
Society of Friends.
Oh, yes. I got into the business of taking families out of London,
yes.
Out of the East End of London. Yes, I did quite a bit of that.
Yes.
In helping, they had a lot of volunteers, a lot of conscientious objectors.
Yes.
And I had quite a lot of them,
yes.
And Tessa Cadbury was one of the people. Tessa,
yes.
Rountree,
yes.
Came Tessa Cadbury during my, yes. Time there. And we tried to settle these families into Cambridgeshire homes.
Oh, yes.
Well, anywhere we could get places for,
yes.
Them.
Yes.
Taking them out of London, out of the danger zone.
Yes.
And placing them in the country. We did quite a lot of that.
Yes, and before you started doing that, you were also involved with the rest and feeding centres, weren't you?
Yes.
What were they? What was the rest and
feeding centre? They were places where hot meals were served of a fashion.
Yes.
Run by people in various areas. I can't remember the one I worked in. But people who couldn't go home because of the bombs.
Yes.
And who had to have some sort of place to sleep in. And we slept them where we could. A lot of people were sleeping in the underground.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
In fact, when I went to work down in the city, I had to land it up at Mansion House, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And there the platform was simply littered with people.
Yes.
With their bedding and their al fresco meals.
Yes.
All that sort of thing.
Yes.
I sort of stepped over them and went, mm-hmm. to my office, the office in which the care committee was then.
Yes.
And so on.
I see. And then...
I was there the night, the awful night of the city when we feared that the St. Paul's had gone. Or,
yes.
It was a most shocking time.
Yes. Yes.
We feared for everything. We thought everything would go. We couldn't imagine it wouldn't. And we were in a sort of underground building of Lloyd's. We were in Lloyd's. They lent us accommodation, and they had great big places under the road.
Sort of vaults.
Vaults. We stayed in the vaults. Very warm it was. Too stuffy, stifling.
Yes.
But that's where we stayed, in the vaults.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were working with the Society
of Friends,
until 1941, when the United States Committee for the Care of European Children asked you to work,
yes.
for them.
Asked me to work for them,
yes.
Which I did.
Yes.
I found that very interesting. Mm. Well, I found all my life's been interesting.
Yes.
I've had a very interesting time,
yes.
Haven't I?
Yes, you have. Yes. Mm. It was... Nobody else has actually had that particular experience, presumably. It was you,
no.
on your own doing that, wasn't it?
No.
It must have been a tremendous job having to track down all those children in America and then come back here and track down all their parents.
It was a difficult job. because they didn't have a very careful selection of the children who went. Mm. They didn't have a social worker there. I'm not saying we social workers are miracle workers or could do anything very remarkable, but we could have done something.
Yes, yes.
Because they didn't know the sort of social mores from whence these people came.
Yes.
And you see, we had children who came from high-class families and children who came from the poorest of the poor.
Yes.
And sometimes, for instance, a family living in Boston, Massachusetts, had two very incorrigible little girls.
Yes.
Who cut capers all over the place, you know, and were very difficult.
Yes.
Well, I don't think I would have put those sort of children in with two Boston, Massachusetts ladies living near the common, you know. Oh,
yes.
No, I wouldn't have done that. The Commonwealth Fund, the United States Committee, was very good in its way, but it didn't know the social mores.
Yes. Yes.
It's taught me one.
Yes.
It's taught me that.
Yes.
That you must know the social backgrounds of children before you place them anywhere.
Yes.
And
yes.
Although it seems a simple lesson now, it wasn't then.
No, quite. Yes.
Mm. I remember sitting at lunch. I often went into these families, you see, and had lunch, and the children were there, or had a meal with them to see them. And I remember one little Jewish girl from Bethnal Green, I think.
Yes.
Very intellectual Jewish family, and she was in a totally unintellectual surrounding. Well, you see, they thought she came from a very simple family, which is true, she did.
Yes.
But she was an intellectual.
Yes.
And the family were not. Don't suppose they ever read a book.
Yes.
And I remember sitting at meal with her, with her host and hostess, and these two children were there. And this little girl, who had the most wonderful little suite in which she lived, with all pink and white, red and white curtains and everything you could think of, sitting beside me and saying, we don't have a bath in Bethnal Green. We use the public baths.
Yes.
You see?
Yes, yes.
And the boy became suffused with scarlet right up to the chin bones.
Yes.
He was horrified. But of course, you could see, I mean, it was sort of hopeless, wasn't it?
Yes.
These totally unlearned Americans who had this little girl from a highly intellectual but very poor grocer's family in Islington or Bethnal Green or somewhere. Bethnal Green.
Yes.
It struck me as a very interesting observation.
So, how did you find the parents when you came back to this country? I mean, what sort of things did they want to know about?
Well,
what were their anxieties about it all?
I don't think they knew what to think.
Yes.
America seemed to them like a land full of riches,
yes,
and a wonderful place. But they couldn't even visualize what their children would be like when they came back.
Yes.
In my view, they should never have been sent.
Yes.
Because the children minded about the bombs. Mm. In fact, a constant question to me was, have you seen a bomb? I said, no. But they wanted to know all about that side out of their sheer anxiety over their families. At least I think it was that.
Yes, yes.
What's a bomb look like?
Yes.
What does it do? That sort of thing.
Yes.
See, their mind was building on that.
Yes.
Although they might be in the most lush surroundings themselves, that was it.
Yes.
And one of the most moving visits I did was to an elderly man living in the south of France who looked very Jewish and was, I think, Jewish. He lived in a little cabin with a mud floor.
Yes.
Hens scratching in and out, and he produced a most wonderful picture of his daughter standing behind a big limousine in an opulent family.
Yes.
Of course, it didn't mean he didn't know what it was all about, really.
No, no.
And here was the hen scratching at my feet.
Yes, yes.
You see, they didn't know.
Yes.
The people who placed the children didn't know what it might be due to them.
Yes.
And there was a great excitement in getting a British child.
Yes.
It was at one time a sort of status symbol to have a British child, a refugee from awful conditions in Europe, which they didn't understand at all.
Yes.
And there it was. They were landed in these rich, cultured homes, not really cultured in my thinking, but in their thinking, intensely wonderful homes.
When you went to France, was that dangerous? Because, I mean, there was still fighting going on, presumably.
Well, I don't think it was dangerous. It never bothered me at all. I love travelling and I don't mind doing it. And I don't mind what I do and that sort of thing. I love it.
I mean, presumably when you went there, the fighting could only just have moved forwards for months at the most.
There was a great shortage of food.
Yes, I was thinking everybody disrupted still.
Yes.
No food.
I did have short commons, food-wise.
Yes.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Yes.
And I remember seeing with great satisfaction an enormous van filled with cauliflowers coming into Paris. And I remember thinking what a wonderful thing for those people that has come.
Yes.
So you see, rations were short.
Yes.
And I got odd little meals, very odd sometimes.
Yes.
Just nothing much.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So then, after the war, John Bowlby invited you to go to the Tabby, isn't it?
And I went to the Tabby.
Yes.
And it was a very interesting experience.
At that time then, there wasn't a Tavistock course as such. You took students from LSE, didn't you, on placement at the
moment? Yes, I think so.
And and you also saw parents and their children, or mothers and their children.
That's yes.
Right, isn't it? And I think about that time you wrote an article about the place of fathers in child art.
Yes.
Can you remember that?
Yes.
Article, writing that?
Well, I don't remember much about it, but I know I did write one.
I think that's in the either the second or third issue of the APSW Journal.
Is it?
It's just a short note on, it's called something like a short note on the place of fathers in child
guidance.
Yes,
they were left out completely.
Yes, and you were pointing out, you were describing a procedure you had at the clinic before seeing everybody before you embarked on treatment.
Did we? I've rather forgotten that, but I can imagine that's what we would do.
We had a meeting with all the parents.
Yes.
I think it sounded, I've only read through it very quickly, but it sounds like it was some sort of group meeting.
Yes, a preliminary meeting we had.
That's right. And so you could sort everything out.
Yes, get them to see the sort of obligations they were under, if you can use that word. Yes, we did all sorts of things like that.
And that was, that recognising the role of fathers.
Yes.
But that was, for that time, that was new as well in child guidance.
Oh, very new, yes, yes. And we really did use that and develop that, I think. I think we could rightly claim that we did.
Yeah. Did that take some... Did your colleagues take some persuading about that, or...?
I don't remember very much about it. Of course, anything that came from psychology was a little bit inclined to be suspect in the early days.
Yes.
I don't know what was the matter with the social workers, but they didn't take kindly to psychological knowledge.
Yes.
I would say. Now, other people might say it differently. I can only say what I noticed.
Yes.
They were afraid.
Yes.
I suppose there were a hangover from the days when you simply discussed chairs and tables or whatever, you know. Didn't see the dynamic forces that you were really representing to them.
I tell you, what really interests me, hearing you talking now, is the way in which you involved yourself in really some very practical, and not just sort of mucky things, but really quite dangerous things. I mean, in this diary here, the convoy to America and flying back, each time you exposed yourself to quite a lot of danger, I suppose, like everybody else was.
Everybody else,
during the war. And again, going into France just after the liberation.
Yes.
And then back to the Tavistock Clinic. And all through that time, being able to hang on to those ideas, the things you started off talking about on the tape, the importance of process.
Yes.
And seeing that, and seeing the importance of that in very different contexts. I mean, really very dangerous contexts.
Yeah, I suppose it might be said so.
Yes, and well, I never thought quite remarkable.
I never thought about it at all. Mm. I mean, I know.
You could end up being quite overwhelmed by the drama of the events which you were part of during the war, couldn't you?
I suppose one could if you take them out and look at them.
Yes.
But they all came merged in one to the other, and almost imperceptibly.
Yes.
And before one knew where one was involved in this and that.
Mm. Yes.
But of course, what helped me so much was my analysis. Because I began to see the values of cause and effect, and you know, what took place in the situation.
Yes.
Which beforehand I hadn't realised.
Yes.
And I can't think my social work training did anything to help at all.
Yes.
In that respect. It was the most wooden affair, you know.
Even on the mental health course?
Mental health course was not too bad, I think.
Yes.
But the ordinary social work courses were were no preparation in my day.
Yes.
For working with people.
That's right, yes, yes.
Working with ideas and working with plans and knowing about agencies, all very important.
Yes.
I don't minimise that.
Yes.
And a lot of social workers just won't bother about the detail of their work.
Yes.
But they ought to be expert practitioners in knowing everything they can, the map of their district, the availabilities of this and that.
Yes.
They ought to know that just like the back of their hand.
Yes.
Oughtn't they?
Yes, they ought. Yes.
But they don't.
No.
They go to the more highfalutin ideas.
Yes.
And leave out the daily bread ones, I think.
Yes, yes.
Mm.
Now, do you have any recall for the setting up of the Tavistock course when you decided to? I think it grew out of the contact you'd made during the war with the Fielding Foundation in America, didn't it? They were prepared to.
Yes.
Offer some grants, weren't they?
They did. They paid for the training to a large extent. Yes. I don't know. Miss Clement Brown would know that better than anybody.
Yeah. She'd know about that, would she?
She had a lot to do with LSE.
No, not the LSE, no, the TAVI.
Oh, the TAVI.
TAVI course. I mean, when you set that up at the end of the war, or it wasn't immediately, I was it about the early 50s, was it?
Was it the early 50s? I'm not quite sure.
I mean, I don't know offhand, but it can be checked through books.
Yes,
it?
Yes, it can.
I mean, you didn't. I understood from Elizabeth Irving to start with, you took students from the mental health course.
Yes.
But that you felt that the 6 months placement really wasn't long enough.
Yes.
And so you set up the advanced casework course.
Oh yes, ever so, yes.
Yes.
You've got it right now.
Yes. Now, yes. Can you remember any of the discussions that took place?
Not very well. That? It was all sort of embodied in this idea that you must understand what's going on in the situation.
Yes.
And it sort of went round that.
Yes.
Because up to now, nothing had even mentioned such a thing.
No. Yes.
Or even thought of such a thing.
Yes.
And we had to imbue students with the knowledge that they, from the moment they set foot in the house, all the moment they came in contact with a person, something went on.
Yes.
And something dynamic was going on.
Yes.
All that was quite new.
Yeah.
At least I think it was.
Yes.
And that's why the advanced course came into being.
How did the APSW regard the setting up of the advanced course? I mean, did. I mean, was it I'm wondering is, was it in some sense a criticism of the mental health course?
I think to those that who was sensitive to it would be.
Yes, because I mean, you were saying 6 months practical work isn't enough.
No,
and you're not providing this kind of input.
No.
An input which focuses in the way you've just described.
Yes. I don't know. I don't like difficulties, so perhaps I'm getting over them by thinking they didn't exist, but they must have existed.
Yes.
There must have been difficulty.
Yes.
Don't remember much about it.
No. Well, a lot of PSWs, if I remember rightly, seem to regard the TAFE course as a sort of post-qualifying course.
Yes.
I've met several PSWs who did their mental health course and then later on went on to do the TAFE course.
It's rather a mature course, really.
Yes.
And a lot of students are mature enough to take it, really.
Yes.
Or to get much out of it.
Yes.
They think they do, but they don't.
And a lot of MSWs did too, as well, didn't they?
Yes. Yes. I think we were a threat, you know.
Yes.
The whole thing must have threatened them.
Yes.
It couldn't do other, could it?
Yes, well, I wasn't sure whether it was something that was acknowledged or whether... I mean, I can see that inherently there could be problems, but I don't know whether they were problems that were acknowledged or that people would want to grapple with necessarily.
I think it made uneasier feelings.
Mm. Yes.
But whether we really crowned those with... Mm. You know, with observations suggesting that they were greater threats than perhaps than we knew. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yes. Someone I was talking to, you know, having one of these conversations with, did make the observation that it was very strange about the way in which PSWs were not ready or not prepared to get hold of conflict that existed within their own organisation. Although they were prepared to take on the outside world.
Well, I think they were quite right, probably.
Things like salaries and things like that they didn't like talking about.
No.
And
no.
I wondered whether this would be another one of them. Mm.
Mm. I think some of the medical social workers are very sure they know what to do because they're always concerned with doing.
Yes.
And they're pretty expert at it, I expect.
Yes.
But not all of them see that there are other aspects to an interview than just doing things and getting the right whatever for somebody.
Yes.
But some of the hard-headed ones didn't like us at all, I don't think.
Mm.
But we went on.
Yes.
And we were forced to be reckoned with, weren't we?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes. But I don't remember the precise details or whether we had head-on collisions with people. I don't think we did.
No, no.
Probably wouldn't know how to sustain that quite.
No. Huh? Can you remember how you came to write the book, Caseworkers' Use of Relationship? Did that come out of a discussion or what happened
there? I went to a conference at Liverpool where Dr. Soddy was there. He was a man who said, you'll never get them to do it. And it was there that I thought up this book.
Social casework in Great Britain, wasn't it?
Yes.
The book you wrote with Margaret Ferrard.
Oh.
Caseworkers' Use of Relationship, which...
Oh, yes.
You know, draws on case material to illustrate these points you've been making about the importance of process.
Well...
It talks about transference, counter-transference, defence mechanisms and so on.
I felt that there was a great lack of that, and that we ought to get it down. And I remember one night ringing up Margaret Ferrard, who was not a particular strong friend of mine or anything like that, but she's got a good head on her. You haven't seen her, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, she's in Suffolk and she's never very well now. She's got very bad sight. She's got horrible sight, poor thing. And I said to her, what would you think of writing a book with me? She said, I'd like to. So then we started. It took us ages to do.
Yes.
And we didn't do it very well or very easily.
Yes.
And it shows, I think, in the book.
Yes. How do you mean?
Well, I don't think it's a very good book.
I mean, how do you mean that you didn't do it well or easily?
It was not easily done.
Yes.
I did most of the chapters on transference and that sort of thing because I was more au fait with it than Margaret Ferrard. I think she wouldn't mind my saying that. In fact, I think she'd endorse it.
Yes.
But I can't speak for her, but she didn't know nearly as much about transference as I did.
Yes, yes.
And I suppose it's, people always talk about transference as though it was a terribly difficult thing to explain and understand. Yes. It is not.
Yes.
Is it?
No, well, I didn't find it so.
No. Why do they make it so difficult?
Yes, well.
Afraid of using it, I suppose. Afraid of thinking it in this unseen activity is going on the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, I would write that book very differently now, I expect.
You'd write it differently?
I think so.
Yes.
I'd make transference the absolutely the A and B all of it all, because it is that what goes on, and explaining, helping the person to see that they're participating in an activity, not in a dead situation.
Yes.
Or finding some school for Johnny or something of the sort. But much more than that. Yes. I may go too far in that direction. I'm perfectly prepared to think my critics would think so.
Yes.
But I don't mind. If they think so, they do.
Were you ever involved in any of the sort of professional discussions or debates about those?
I'm not good at speakers, being a speaker or at meetings. I don't think at all. So I never encouraged those sort of activities because I didn't feel competent to deal with them.
I meant informally, you know, at APSW meetings.
Oh, yes, I think we did discuss it then. I think we must have done.
Yes.
And of course there would be a lot of people who wouldn't want it at all, who thought it was too Freudian.
Yes, yes.
That was a great expression, too Freudian.
Yes, yes.
They didn't quite know what they meant, but it was too Freudian anyway.
People used to talk about high-powered PSWs and non-high-powered PSWs in my young day. Is that a phrase? That have you heard that phrase?
No, I don't think so. I think I would think of some in that terms. I don't think I'd say it.
Yes.
But I might be drawn to saying it, but because it's true in a way.
Yes.